We invite you to visit Maserati Jacksonville today for a personalized luxury driving experience like no other. Plus, for a limited time, take advantage of our historically low interest rates. Visit online at MaseratiJacksonville.com.
Baloo on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Right, Tuesday. Man, it's chilly out. Are you kidding me? I left Boston when I was 18 for the sun, for the fun, for the lovemaking in the sand. Wanted to join a rock and roll band. That didn't work out. No complaints here, though, with the professional life, with the gig. But brother, man, it is cold today, RJ Saunders. I thought down here in Florida, it was supposed to be 90 every day, mid-90s, triple digits. I went outside today to try to work up a lather. It was like 50 degrees out.
I like it when it's this kind of weather. I'm not going to lie. I don't like it when it's hot over here.
What's wrong with you?
It's this kind of weather, the bundle up,
no.
Layers type weather.
No. Nothing good about bundled up. The girls look so much better in sundresses and nice pairs of shorts, and I don't like them all bundled up with sweaters and scarves and, you know, long pants and all that type of stuff. That's not where I'm at. I mean, I can get that back in Boston.
Listen, there's two words to describe me and the way I like to dress. Bummy, okay? Understand that about RJ Saunders. I like dressing bummy. I like dressing comfortable. So when the weather's like this and I can do it, oh my gosh, it's heaven.
Well, you are a quick study and you are a good learner. I appreciate the fact that I haven't seen you because every day you're here with a hoodie. The Mike Norvell rule is in effect here on Into the Night, and you abide by that. So I appreciate the respect. Because I know that you would love to put that hood on because you seem to get colder than any human being I've ever met. But there's only two people that I know in the United States of America that won't allow you to have an earring, wear a cap, or a hoodie. That's Mike Norvell and Rick Belew.
Absolutely, because clearly we don't know what it's all about. And with that being the case, we have to apply ourselves by the guidelines right now for Florida State. It's working.
I haven't done that in so long. Is that cut been deleted from our system?
I'm looking for it right now.
I don't think I've done it in a year.
Yeah, it's been a minute since you've done it. Yeah. However, I used to put the hoodie on because they used to blast the AC in here. It got cold in here. I'd get a head cold.
Florida right now, Florida fans, this is alarming to me. Okay, they are right now, and I'm going to stereotype all of you into one, massive sandbagging going on by Gator fans. And, you know, I started hearing it Sunday during the Jaguars game when the Dan Mullen firing came in. I went and did an interview, yesterday with Hacker and Joey C. And Matt Hayes and Hacker, like, as he brings me on, says, I just want to, before we do anything, say that I've already conceded and Florida State's going to kick the living snot out of us this weekend in the swamp. It's like, it's really bad. And I'm not buying it, okay? I mean, if you think right now that Florida State's just going to show up and win that game, brother, you're on drugs. Florida State has got to show that they can play 60 minutes worth of football, all right? Now, I like their chances a hell of a lot more now than I have at any point in the season, okay? I mean, I remember talking during the offseason. I didn't give them a chance in the world against Notre Dame, Clemson, Miami, and Florida. All right? We saw what happened with Notre Dame. Came down to basically the final play. All right, Clemson got a backdoor cover on the Stanford-Cal lateral deal, but you watched the game. You saw what happened. They played hard with Clemson. They beat Miami. Last couple of weeks has been impressive as to what Florida State has done, but you also have to look at the fact that they were up 17 against the U, and all of a sudden you blink twice and you're down by 8. They did come back, and a tip of the cap to everyone involved. But still, and you know, with Jason Garrett getting fired today and Dan Mullen getting fired on Sunday, that is where we are as a fan base. And I've been talking about this quite a bit as of late. It is such a knee-jerk reaction now, and I think social media has a lot to do with that. But I don't think I've ever seen an era in life, not only sports, but in life, where if things are not going the way that you want, you know, it's time to quit. It's time to go somewhere else. It's time to get a divorce. It's time to fire someone. How many people, when you go back to that Miami game, were ready to fire Mike Norvell when Miami came down 17-0 and took an 8-point lead? And, you know, I kid with you because I'm honest to a fault. I get myself in trouble every once in a while by being too honest. You don't have to admit it. You're a fan, okay? So you don't have to come out and say, oh, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. We're never going to win with Mike Norvell. You won the game. That disappeared from your brain. If you said it, it disappeared in the thin air. It no longer matters. Well, look what happened last week at BC. Man, you're up 26-3. You got an opportunity to curb stomp them. Okay, you're up 26-3, and all of a sudden, here come the Fighting BC Eagles in front of 12,567 who paid at Alumni Stadium, out on the hill, not Bunker Hill, but Chestnut Hill,
on the hill,
right, and that one got tight. You know, if you made plans with the honey, yeah, somebody watch the beginning of this game at noon. We'll do some shopping in the second half around 2 o'clock. It looks good. Florida State's up 26-3 right now. Yeah, just give me a... Uh-huh. You saw what happened there. So, this isn't my attempt of doom and gloom for Florida State. They're on the come right now. They've won 5 out of the last 7. They're playing better football. But my point is this. They haven't put together 60 minutes of good ball. And, you know, the BC game was, I hate to complain about the officiating if it's a team that I like, because there's nothing that I hate more than listening to another talk show host complain about the officials with their team. It's one thing to complain if it doesn't involve your team. But that's why I try not to do it. I remember the whole, you know, going back, what, six years ago, I purposely refused to acknowledge the infamous call in the back, you know, what was it, a block in the back that took away the Dalvin Cook large gain against Clemson. I mean, we all have them. They're all there, but I just hate to be that guy, you know, that, oh, all right, well, this happened and that happened and it's all about the... The officials were awful with BC. They were absolutely incredibly atrocious. But you have to take that into consideration when you look at any of these rivalry games that are going to be played later on this week. You know, Philly Rooster, Philly Godfather, Rafael Esparza, MyBookie.com. I'm fully involved with the whole gaming process. And to me, it's a delight. I've never understood the fantasy. I've never played the fantasy. I still get questions from you all the time. Hey, Baloo, should I play this guy against this team or this guy? I just, have never had the time to look at individual players against another team. And I think a lot of that is because of my former background where I did like to bet on games, whether it was a team or a side. And I found myself doing, you know, more sides than I actually did teams. I like playing totals. I like playing overs. I like playing unders. You know, it's not as extreme. It's not as emotional as hanging on an underdog or you know, laying major points with a favorite. But I just couldn't do both. I would hate to be in the stands Sunday, you know, Jacksonville against San Francisco. And I guess that's a bad example because the Jaguars just sucked on Tuesday, on Sunday. And it continues to, you know, kind of linger here on a Tuesday. But let's say you had Debo Samuel or you had George Kittle. And, you know, you want your Jags to win, but, you know, secretly, like, yeah, but I need a big game for Debo. Oh, well, San Francisco was going to score anyway. So why not let it be Debo Samuel? I've always looked at that as a conflict of interest. But my point is that in the world of betting, it's always been cut and dry. No longer. Okay, the officiating is so bad across the board that I think you're crazy if you're betting big money and leaving that for the umpires, referees, and officials. No way. It seems like every game I watch, that there are debatable calls, and they can end up being really bad calls. So anyway, back to Florida State in Florida here. My pick will be tomorrow night. We're going to make them tomorrow night. I'm going to digest it for another 24 hours. But you have got incredible sandbagging going on right now by Gator fans. And that is a large percentage of them. Of course, there's going to be some out there to just flat out say, no, Florida's going to win this game. There's too much on the line. Florida State's won 7 out of the last 10. Florida opted out a year ago. They wanted nothing to do with Florida State and Tallahassee. Florida opted out a year ago. They wanted nothing to do with Florida State and Tallahassee. I just love saying that because the text line is going to be filled here in about 15 seconds with people telling me it was the presidents of the SEC who opted out. It had nothing to do with Florida not wanting to go to God's country to play Florida State. Do some homework, Baloo.
Read up on it, Baloo. It was a game. It was going to happen. We were going to be through it.
Shut your mouth.
I love it. I love it. If it just burns any of your blood, I love it. I just love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. The only president who wanted to play a rival was South Carolina, and South Carolina gets their ass kicked every year by Clemson. They're like, bring it on. It's a rivalry. So Florida, they wanted nothing to do with going to Florida State last year. They opted out.
I'm scared. I'm running scared.
But the sandbagging that's going on now is really, that's mystifying to me. The other side of all this, man, I hope those damn students are all gone. I hope they've all left Florida State because you know that Florida State is being told right now by everyone that they come into contact with, you're going to win, you're going to win, you're going to win. Dan Mullen's out, you're going to win, you're going to win. Florida's quit, Dan Mullen has gone. I mean, so that's a factor in college football. It's not in the NFL. It's not with professional athletes. It is on Saturday. These kids buy in to the surrounding, area and surrounding parts. When they are told you're going to win, you're going to win, you're going to win, you're going to win, for the most part, they are going to believe that. And that scares me. The reason why it scares me is what I just tried to tell you a couple of minutes ago. Florida State can look really good for periods of time. They looked outstanding for 30 minutes against Boston College. And then they totally fell apart. They can't play 60 minutes of football. They haven't been able to do it yet. And when you blow a 17-0 lead and you blow a, you know, nearly blow a 26-3 lead, I don't care if Florida State's up 28-10 in, you know, in the third quarter. The game's not over. They've proven that. So they have got to maintain for 60 minutes. And to me right now, that is a huge question. And, you know, also, I would, what does Florida have to lose here? Nothing. You got to believe Anthony Richardson's going to get an opportunity. Why wouldn't he? Florida's going to try to save him, not allow him to transfer. And obviously, the most important part of that will be who is the next head coach going to be. But everyone wants to see Anthony Richardson. In a game like this, you know he's going to get some at-bats. He may end up getting the entire situation. I mean, it could be his show. And, you know, he's made mistakes this year, but he is incredibly athletic. All right. Wanted to get that off my chest early on. Florida right now is that guy you find on the first tee. And he gets out and he's trying to, you know, trying to stretch a little bit. He's like, oh, man, I've only swung the clubs twice in the last 6 months. I do this now during football season. Oh, man, they still call it golf, right? I mean, that's, you know, you get to that first, oh, man, I was playing a lot in the summer. Yeah, things are kind of good, but I've only swung the clubs a couple of times now, really since training camp began. Yeah, my golf game's awful. You going to give me a few extra strokes? That's exactly what the Gators are doing right now. They are sandbagging. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I remember 97. I remember being on the field after the travesty. The biggest mirage in the history of college football, the rematch in 96. And everything that was there in 97, Florida State, a much better team. They were a 9.5-point favorite. They went out there and they lost. I saw it. I was standing right there. That's a game that Michelle DeFoy punched me in the chest after the game.
She punched you?
Well, I interrupted an interview with Sean McDonough, and I think it was either Jaquez Green or Doug Johnson. I didn't know that they were live. And I had my AM 600 The Ball mic going, and I was trying to get some sound, trying to do my job.
And she punched you.
Well, after the interview. Yeah. Wound up and drilled me right in the chest.
What a suitor.
Yeah, I'm a good sport. I remember flying back from Chicago. And they unleashed Bobby Bowden Field. There were fireworks. There were firecrackers. There were sparklers. There were also, you know, M80s. It's great. Ron Zook went in there with the team. And a bunch of lame ducks and beat FSU. So just let me shape you up a little bit. Don't play the role that this game shouldn't even be played. That all Florida State has to do is show up and they're going to win. And that Florida has no... I don't believe it. I have seen too many crazy things in this rivalry. You give me a 1-point victory right now, brother, I would sign up for that in a friggin' heartbeat. It's going to be interesting. No doubt about it. We'll make our picks coming up tomorrow night. That much we do know. All right, on the other side, let's get to the college football playoff. Also, the Jags. I don't think I even mentioned them here during the opening. If you're wondering, they're still bad. Okay. They had an off day today, but they're going to try to fix this whole operation. Man, you know, I think the question you got to ask yourself is, if they bow out to Atlanta, if they get blown out, or if they lose to Atlanta, does everything change as far as you might as well just lose them all to get hopefully a number one or if not the number two pick in the draft? I never thought I would say that during the 2021 season. And, man, there are 7 games remaining. Something to consider. We'll get some of your feedback on that as well. The number on the text line, 641-1010. You can get me on Twitter. That is Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010, XL.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, cold evening with the Phillips Highway Stroll. They need a bonfire or something. Although RJ loves the weather, it's perfect for you. But you're not a beach guy. You're not a golf guy.
I mean, I like going to the beach here and there, but no, I'm not like a huge guy.
I've been trying to get you on the golf course for a couple of years. I'm going to be like the Gators and just try to sandbag the hell out of it. Oh, you know, I haven't played since August.
I mean, I've told you, I want to go golfing. I just need to be decent at it. I don't want to, you know, be horrible. Trying to swing the club and the ball still right there, and I'm going 50 feet.
Let me tell you something. For an event that is considered relaxing, whatever. If you have any competitive juices flowing in your body, you're going to find that it can be an incredibly aggravating sport, unless it just doesn't mean anything to you. If you want to go, I mean, I'm starting to take it a little bit more seriously now, and that scares me. I like the days when I go out there and smoke cigars and drink beers and never keep score. But now that I work at night, and I have been for nearly 3 years, I have the opportunity to go out and play day golf, where obviously I'm not going to drink before I come in here and do a radio show. So I find myself all of a sudden taking it a little bit more seriously. And I don't like that.
No?
No.
You don't want to have those competitive juices flowing?
Not anymore. I hung them up. You know, I hung up everything at the age of 18. Unless you want me to talk about my Florida State intramural career. Okay. As a receiver or softball player, I bet the listeners are just dying to hear that.
I know you got to have some stories on that.
Mm. But, you know, I'm never going to be good enough to really compete in golf. I'm never going to be like my brother. I'm never going to be scratch. You know,
not going to try him, to join the Champions Tour.
Going to play with him on Friday and P.T. Willis, former Florida State quarterback. Part of, you know, he plays with him twice a week over at the course. Looking forward to doing that on Friday, and, you know, just watching these guys, you know, their short game and how long it takes them to line up a putt. Or, you know, I'm just kind of, you know, out of the golf cart, hit the ball. If I hit it well, good. And, I don't know. Anyway, the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, congratulations. They actually got it right. You know, I was thinking I was going to roll in here tonight and rip the system because Bama was going to stay at 2 after just barely getting by, and Ohio State, their domination over Michigan State, was going to stay at 3. I'm going to take off my cap right now and admit that this particular process, at least so far, is working in the world of college football. Cincinnati moves up to number 4. I've never been a fan of the little guy. I've never been a fan of the glass slipper. I'm about the big and the bold. I'm about the blue bloods and the proud college football traditions and factories. Don't give me any of that college basketball crap where Boise State or, you know, the University of Central Florida or whomever it may be, you know, the horny frogs of TCU, or maybe Baylor's going to make a run, or, you know, every once in a while you're going to hear that West Virginia is going to make a run, or, you know, now it's Cincinnati. All right. Cincinnati's earned it. Their body of work coming in, they had a nice preseason record, a nice record that led to their preseason ranking. They've won all their games. Now, some have been, let's say, ugly. Let's be kind and call them ugly. They also went in the South Bend and beat Notre Dame. So, against everything that I've ever believed in and stood for, I find myself kind of pulling this year for the Bearcats just to get in. And I want to see how they match up. You know, if they draw Georgia, and, you know, we had a game a year ago where those two played, but I'm guessing that maybe 10% of you out there actually remembered that because it wasn't in the college football playoff. We don't remember bowl games anymore. How are they going to match up where no one's opting out, no one's saying, that's it, I'm going into the draft, I'm not going to play in this bowl game, and whatever. When you get into the playoff, the players of those teams play it out. We are aware of that. I want to see how Cincinnati can do against an Ohio State, against an Alabama, against the Georgia. If those are the four, of course, Bama and Georgia are going to face each other in a week and a half. I think if Georgia loses, they still get in. The question is, what happens to Alabama if they lose by a field goal? You know, do they get in with two losses? A lot of football left. Rivalry weekend, you know, big game, Oklahoma State coming up on Saturday night. There's a lot hanging on that one. But congratulations to the College Football Playoff Committee. They absolutely got it right. The last 3 weeks, nothing had changed in the top seven spots, but we, you know, started to get some losses with Michigan State last week, or Michigan State again this week. Oregon, obviously, this week. So happy to see that this at least appears to be working up to this particular point. Still a lot left, though. And, you know, for what it's worth, I would like there to be some chaos. That is the fastest way we get to expansion. You know, we get to a 12-team college football playoff. There's been a lot of stuff out the last couple of weeks that the earliest you'll see it is after the 2024 season or after the 2025 season. Well, contracts can always be broken. And there's going to be more money to be made for everyone involved. The only way you speed up the process is by how? By really creating something that is totally chaotic and where the controversy becomes insanely loud. And I got news for you. Cincinnati being left out at number five isn't going to do it. Okay? It didn't happen years ago when Penn State was undefeated and didn't get a shot. It didn't happen years ago when Auburn was undefeated and didn't get a shot. And those are legitimate blue blood college football teams. There's only one or two teams in America where this could be forced. Alabama absolutely is one. And the other one would be Notre Dame, but they've done it to themselves because they're not going to play in a conference championship game. Notre Dame's season is going to end this weekend, and everyone's going to play during Championship Saturday, and we're going to be watching all these games, and Notre Dame is going to do nothing. And, you know, I really do. I hope that they don't make it because of that reason. Okay? They're so damn arrogant, and they think college football begins and ends with them. I would love to see Notre Dame at number five when it's all said and done, and then Golden Domers can say, damn it, if we just played in that, you know, we should have played in the ACC championship game. We beat all those ACC teams that we played. Well, you should have joined the conference. You were allowed in a year ago during COVID. So hopefully that happens to the Fighting Irish. All right, we got a lot more to do. Your comments are coming up. 641-1010 on the text line. You can get me on Twitter, Blue1010XL. My buddy Danny Van Sickle's here. We got a lot to cover in the world of college and pro football. That's next.
Go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, with you tonight till 10. We do a late night on Tuesday, tomorrow night, 6 to 8, and that's it. For the rest of the week, we're off Thanksgiving. We're off Friday. Next time I'll talk with you will be Sunday from the Jaguars sideline as they get ready to host Atlanta. My buddy Danny Van Sickle is here. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
You too, brother. Glad to be here.
Man, it's good to have you with us. I love when you're in the neighborhood and we get a few moments to spend. Let's start with the bad and make our way up to the good. I know that you were talking. We talked last week that you were thinking about going to that Jags game, and you told me you did not make it. Probably a wise decision. And I never say that about not going to a game, because obviously I want the stadium packed. But boy, that was really awful on Sunday.
Yeah, it wasn't a good showing. I feel like the team really made a step back in that game. Really, in any NFL game, you can normally find positives out of a game somewhere. Even in blowout losses, you can find, well, they did this good, or we had this to build on. Looking back at that game, I didn't see any positives to really pull out of that game.
Yeah.
In a couple of embarrassing moments, punter not being on the field, things like that. You know, we all hear what national media says. You could say you don't care about the national media, but I promise you, they do. And we hear it. And you just hate to hear what is said about us on the national scale. We know what we have here, and we feel like we have the best players in place. With Trevor, and we have a future in place. Obviously, they're going to need more draft picks, and they're going to need better personnel. Obviously, there's going to be coaching on the coaching staff. But, man, you really hate to hear the narrative that you constantly hear about Jacksonville being such a down team. It wears on you, and it wears on you. This league is not built for you to stay this bad this long.
That's for sure. And the good news is, and I was actually talking about this last night, Danny, I honestly believe they're 5-6 players away, and that's how easily this can be fixed. You've got to get a guy that can flat out run at wide receiver and make plays during free agency. You have to address that as well in the draft. We don't know about this offensive line. My guess is that you're going to have to bring in at least two more there. I think you need another pass rush end and another corner, and that's it. So it's not like they need, 30 new players out of their 53. They need some home run hitters at wide receiver. I still believe they have the quarterback. I think the offensive play calling in the scheme needs to get better.
Yeah, it does. And, we've been around for a while, so we have seen the Jaguars go on spending sprees and it not turn out. So it would be easy to say, well, they have a lot of money, they have a lot of cap space, they need to go out and get this, this, and this. If you look this week with Courtland Sutton and other players, other teams, they are locking their players up now. They're not even letting them get to that point.
Right.
So it's not going to be as easy as just having a bunch of money and going out. We're not breaking any records whenever we say that you got to draft well.
And no.
Whenever you look at the Jaguars draft over the last 5 to 6 years, they just do not have the capital that they should have had. And you know what? Really, I remember for a long time it was – you don't ever draft a wide receiver. Don't draft a wide receiver high. I remember they finally did draft a playmaker in Justin Blackmon, and I remember everybody being on board with that pick. Even though the wisdom was you don't pick a wide receiver, everybody was on board with that pick. He had a 220-yard game, and then you saw how that ended up turning out. So it's almost like when you subscribe to the conventional wisdom of not picking a wide receiver, you end up getting offensive tackles and other people pretty high. When you do go with that, you end up picking people that don't last for you.
Yeah, and, with COVID and there wasn't a combine, obviously you look at what they did a couple of years ago, and that hasn't worked, particularly with C.J. Henderson. But, whether it was that or whether it was Leonard Fournette or whether it was Jalen Ramsey or whatever the case may be, is it still going to be Trent Baalke and his entire staff? Is it going to be Urban Meyer and everyone? At this point, who knows what is going to happen? But red flags and character-related issues, this organization has been burnt by that really since its infancy. Not year one, but, certainly R.J. Soward a few years down the road. And then several after that, Matt Jones, Reggie Williams, you just mentioned Blackmon. It just goes on and on and on. So the way I look at things right now, Danny, I think when it's all said and done, I hate to say it, but they're going to be drafting in the top five. Right now, they'd be drafting at number three. You cannot miss with that pick.
No, and one thing about it, every coach out there wants to win. So whenever they say, oh, this is a winning coach, they all want to win, right? But some are more fanatical than others about it. Coach Tom Coughlin was a great example of a fanatical winner. He wanted to win more than anything else in the world, even if that meant kind of skirting the collective bargaining agreement and some of the things that went with that. He figured out ways to win. Whenever the Jaguars did start winning, he thought the only way they could win was spending a bunch of money that put him in a very bad salary cap situation. One thing you hear about Coach Meyer, it don't matter from his Utah days, from anybody who ever knows anything about him, he probably not just wants to win, but I think he hates losing more than he actually enjoys winning. And normally that is a recipe for success when you have that kind of coach, as long as they can keep their mental health and everything else together. So you got to believe that this is wearing on him just as much as, believe me, he had plenty of money and he had plenty of prestige. So it ain't like he's coaching for his job. He's doing this because internally this is how he's wired. He wants to succeed. And I got to believe that he is going to do whatever it takes to win. And if that means making changes on the offensive or defensive staff, so be it. If that means personnel changes, that's going to be it. I'm telling you, this guy, for as much as we don't like talking about them losing, I just have this feeling that this guy probably takes it 1,000 times more worse than the most avid Jag fan out there. So that's what gives me hope, is that he's going to make the necessary changes to achieve that.
Danny Van Sickle with Rick Ballew. Danny, of course, heads up the Electrical Training Alliance. He's going to tell us about that in just a couple of minutes. Let's shift our attention to Hogtown coming up Saturday. Boy, we talked recently, and I, for one, am still very surprised that Florida, despite all the talk, despite all the rumors, they actually pulled the plug on him a week before this game.
Well, there was a lot of talk before the game that if he lost that game, that he was going to be out anyway. So whenever they lost the game, that didn't surprise me a lot. They were talking about scenarios. What happens if you beat Missouri but lose to Florida State? What happens if you lose to Missouri, beat to Florida State? The consensus was, you know, you lose Missouri, then that's 5 out of 7. You're probably not going to be around. So that didn't surprise me. Plus, if you look at the history of the University of Florida, they fired Ron Zook with 3 games to go. I was listening to you before I came in here. Bobby Bowden Field, a lot of people call Ron Zook Field because his going out game was in Tallahassee. Florida won a game that they shouldn't have won that year. So it doesn't surprise me at all that they made that choice, because that is kind of Florida's MO, is that if you're going to make a change, don't wait till later. If you're going to make it anyway, let's make it now. The one thing that is kind of different about this than in previous years, the early signing day was just instituted about 3 or 4 years ago. So normally you would have a good 5 or 6 weeks, or I'm sorry, not even that, even 2 months if you pulled the plug in November, because signing day was the second Tuesday in February. Now, with, I believe, December the 5th is the early signing period, I tell you, they have put themselves in a rough position now because, and I just saw today, they just got a 4-star recruit. So things look good on that front, but you got to believe that the relationships that Coach Mulling and that staff has put together over several months, they basically have 2 weeks to keep what that class was, to keep it together. And I'm telling you, that is a hard thing to do. As FSU fans, we lived through it 3 years ago with Willie.
Yeah, and, you know, you had to deal with that with Willie. Then a couple of years ago, they were patient with Mike Norvell, and they waited for him to finish out that conference championship game, the rematch between Memphis and Cincinnati, and it cost him a recruiting class. If I'm Scott Strickland, and I'm the athletic director, I look at that, and you know, that may end up, let's hope, it may end up being the right decision by Florida State, the right candidate, and they had to do it the way he wanted it. But let's say it's Billy Napier right now, you know, the 42-year-old with the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. I'm saying to him, we're going to offer you the job. You coach a game this weekend, that's it. We're announcing it. You go, if you still want to go coach, you know, a championship game or whatever the heck it is, all right. Honestly, I don't even know if that conference has a Saturday right. conference champ. And I should, but I don't. I'm just being honest. Let him maybe coach. But we're announcing you as our coach so the recruits know, so everyone knows you are now coming to the University of Florida.
Yep, and in the landscape that you're in now with social media and everything, you couldn't keep that much under wraps even if you wanted to. So if you're Florida, you want to get that high. If that's your guy, you want to go out and you want to get him. I tell you what this will do, though. Dan Mullen getting fired probably is going to get Billy Napier another $1.5 million.
Yeah.
Because he was already being pursued by LSU, and now you have him being pursued by Florida. He's right in LSU's background. Backyard. They have a very fertile recruiter realm in the state of Louisiana. So he could take that. They have just as much prestige as University of Florida. They're an SEC team. I guess the only benefit to being at Florida as opposed to LSU is, you know, at Florida, you got to just beat Georgia every year to get to the SEC championship. Whereas at LSU, you're going to have to go up against an Alabama every year, a resurging Texas A&M every year, an Auburn that'll come up and get you. So if that's their guy, though, you have to identify that person. You go after him and you get him. What you don't want to do is go after somebody and then tell you no. You know, we saw that several years ago with Florida State going after Bob Stoops and going after this person. Listen, and the problem is there's not a whole bunch of those guys out there now. There's not a guaranteed group of guys that we can pick any of those and they're going to come to us. So if Napier's their guy, they better make the decision. You're going to have to overpay for him. But in the grand scheme of things, when you think about how much money that college football is, are you really overpaying?
No, you're not. Absolutely, whatever it takes. I mean, we saw it today with, James Franklin. He got a 10-year extension at Penn State, which just makes no sense at all. You know, they got UL Monroe to do the Raging Cajuns this Saturday. Then, you know, a week from Saturday, they got a huge game against Appalachian State, which is a very good program, a program that really should have beat Miami if they made their field goal. All right, Florida State on the road this weekend. Florida State playing better football. I think they're going to have to play 60 minutes of football in order to get it done against the University of Florida. How do you see this game?
Well, right off the bat, one thing that gets my attention is that Vegas has Florida favored by 2.5 points, depending on what line that you're looking at. And that doesn't necessarily mean Vegas thinks they're going to win. Whenever Vegas sets a line, it's they're saying this is what's going to get the most action. But they didn't build that Vegas from losing, right?
No, they built
that city because they win. So, you know, right off the bat, that's one thing I look at. Florida State, with the exception of maybe the North Carolina game, has not really put together a 60-minute game the entire year. They paid great halves and then bad halves. Or, you know, they paid bad halves and then come back and did good in the second half. That game this past weekend, you know, Florida State dominated that first half. I was seriously thinking, you know what, they're going to win this second half. I got some other things I need to take care of outside. Let me go ahead and get those done before the sun goes down. I didn't, and I sat there and I just watched in disbelief as Boston College scored on three straight touchdowns, driving right there at the end. Florida State's defense ended up holding still. So I say all that to say this, maybe this is the week. Maybe this is the week that they're able to put together a full game and realize, hey, you know, last week we played lights out the first half and almost lost. Mm-hmm. Last month, we played terrible the first half, played lights out the second half, and almost won. Florida State's not a good enough team that they can just go into Gainesville and say, hey, those guys aren't going to be playing their hardest. Their coach is gone. You know, it's going to be a FSU heavy crowd. This isn't the 2013 Seminoles rolling into Gainesville this weekend, right?
No.
This is a team that, and I got news for you too. If you look across that sideline, no matter how bad Florida's season has went, they've got four stars over there. They got talent over there. The coaching staff hadn't been able to put together all year, and maybe they hadn't played with their fullest potential. But like we said earlier in the segment, there's been a history of games when the better team doesn't always win. So if you're Florida State, you go in there and you're like, let's put together a full game plan for this game. Let's not get up and then try to hold on there at the end because that's worked out for you. I'd say that that's eventually not going to work out for you. You're going to end up losing one of these.
Yeah, listen, there's been times over these last several years, late with Jimbo and then Willie and with Mike Norvell, where, you know, they're down early and they're trying to fight back. But it feels like recently, especially this year, they've gotten out to leads. And then it's about maintaining, and some they have not been able to maintain, particularly early on this year. But recently, they have done just enough to hold on. If that's the case Saturday, good enough. They get 3 weeks to practice, and it'll help with recruiting, and they'll go to a bowl game. What really worries me, though, is the great unknown is Anthony Richardson, because why wouldn't Florida play him? They have nothing to lose in this situation. Play him, see what he does, and if this is like his coming out party, I'll be the first to admit that makes me a tad bit nervous.
Yeah, and if you've listened to analysts and especially fans, they've been calling for Anthony Richardson all year. And I just have to say to myself, if the coaching staff didn't think he could win them games, then why was he not out there? There has to be a reason, and it can't be because he was dancing on a Friday night and hurt himself, right? He consistently has not been out there all year. When you look at him, he is a physical specimen. He looks like a very special player. But I promise you, no coaching staff, including the University of Florida staff, is going to put someone out there who is not going to give them the best chance to win. So if they haven't played him, there has to be a reason why they haven't played him. And for as gifted as he is, maybe it's because he doesn't have the grasp on the offense like Emory Jones does. Maybe they were worried about picks. You saw what happened when he played in the LSU game. You know, the picks that he threw. Nobody argues that the guy is going to be a talent. But there's got to be a reason why they haven't played him. So if they go out there and they play him this week, that will be a wrinkle. I got to believe that the coaching staff over at Florida State are going to be preparing for both quarterbacks. They don't have a lot of tape on Emory. They've only got a little bit. I'll say this. The coaching staff over there has done a real good job of making adjustments this year. They did not do that last year. They did a poor job making adjustments last year. Even when Florida State was able to do some things in spurts, the other teams always figured it out. The way I see this game, I see Florida State coming out really strong again. But I see the other team actually making a little run. Listen, 2 weeks in a row, Boston College and Miami have both made runs on Florida State. So there's nothing that makes me think that the same thing won't happen this weekend, that Florida won't make a run. What you have to do, though, is do what you've been doing. When they make that run, make adjustments to their adjustments, because the Florida State defense has held tight the last several drives of the last two games, and they had to have held tight or else they were going to lose that game.
Yeah. Going to be a lot of fun. High noon. I know you'll be there on Saturday at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. So enjoy yourself, and hopefully the good guys get out of there with a W. As we say goodbye, tell us about Electrical Training Alliance.
Yeah, so the Electrical Training Alliance is a 5-year electrical apprenticeship. We train people to be electricians. We have applications open up all year long. Go to our website, etajax.org. We have a place for you to apply. YouTube channel's there. You can watch videos more about us. And it's a great career if you want to be an electrician. You don't have to know anything to get started. We have very competitive wages. And if everybody's listened to the truth teller, that they've heard the commercials, over $30 an hour.
Wow.
Great ways for you to earn whenever you finish the apprenticeship. And we're just basically looking for, you know, men and women who have a good attitude and want to start a career that pays good money.
And if you're in high school and you can't afford to go to college and you want to get right into the workforce and earn some serious money, the only thing you got to pay for is your books.
That's it. No tuition. No tuition at all. All you got to do is pay for the books and the course fees. And we've got some mechanisms in place that even gives you some relief on the books for the next year if you hit some benchmarks with your grades and attendance and things. So really, we have a lot of opportunities for you to come and get a first-class education, learn a trade, and not be saddled with all that student debt when you get done.
How do they get a hold of you?
Go to our website, etajax.org, or call us at the office, and we'll be glad to talk to you, 904-737-7533.
Danny Van Sickle, always a lot of fun. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me, and have a great Thanksgiving, buddy.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family as well. I just looked it up. The Raging Cajuns, this is actually a rematch against App State, so there is a Sun Belt championship game. My apologies to Sun Belt fans everywhere for not knowing that. All right, our second hour is coming up. We got much more to do. Along with RJ Saunders, I'm Rick Ballew. This is the home of the Jags.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, hour number two. Tonight we go until 10, tomorrow night and every night, 6 to 8. All right, our Friday shows, 3 to 6 on the AM, are over. So we are settled in now. 6 to 8, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Tuesday night, 8 to 10. Thank you to Danny Van Sickle. Always good to catch up with the Jag and Noel. You know, we got 1-2 tonight from T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Gonzaga, and UCLA. Am I going to take a peek at this when I get home? I don't know, RJ. I know I've told you this many times, but I'm just not ready for basketball yet. I'm not.
I hear you.
I mean, I'm totally ready for baseball.
Yep.
I'm totally ready for hockey.
Right.
And I don't talk about it, but I've The Bruins won on Saturday, and they got blown out 4-0 on Sunday. Obviously, we talk about football the whole offseason, and once that gets everybody, I just don't know what it is. But I, you know, once conference play, I just don't think I can get into it until after the regular season is done in the NFL and, the playoffs, the ball, used to say the bowl games, but the bowl games really don't matter anymore outside of the, you know, the two semis and the national title. But that's what's great about college basketball. You can drop all the, you can drop one Gonzaga against number two UCLA tonight, and one of those teams could win by 30 points, and it means nothing once you get to March.
Right. It's going to mean nothing once you get to March, but I'm interested in seeing how UCLA has developed and come back. I know they returned a lot of guys from last season. I'm wanting to see how they look in this game. And then with Gonzaga, there's one guy that I want to watch, Chet Holmgren, who was a beast in high school, now, you know, making, you know, his freshman debut for Gonzaga. He already has, but now, you know, against the number two UCLA Bruins. So I want to see how he plays, because this is going to be a guy that's going to be a first-round pick, maybe a top-10 pick, if he elects to come out his freshman season. So definitely a lot of, you know, storylines and things that you want to see. And, I mean, plus, they had a great game last year, so that's probably another reason why eyes are going to be looking at this game.
All right, that's coming up tonight at 10 o'clock. Who won the national title? Baylor, right?
Baylor.
Well, okay. That was kind of a mirage. Yeah, I mean, it really was first time national, you know, champion. Interesting question. Do you know who the last time that someone won a national title the first time in college football was?
I have no clue.
Happened in this state in the 90s. Florida State in 93, Florida in 96. Isn't that un-freaking believable?
That feels like a lifetime ago.
Okay. That's my point. Cincinnati's don't win national titles in college football. Okay. Oregon's don't win national titles in college football. Look through recent history. It's basically the same five or six schools. Let me get Helter Skelter. That's what I call my computer here. Let me pull this up just to defend my point. I want to say it's so disappointing that we don't see more of it, but we've also had 55 Super Bowls, and there's only been 20 out of the 32 teams who have actually won a Super Bowl. Okay? I mean, 20 have won it, 12 haven't in the NFL, a league that just prides itself on parity, where college football is anything but. It's dominant. There are certain schools that just far and away are better than everyone else, but I mean, look at this. In reverse order from 2020, Bama, LSU, let's count it. Bama, LSU, Clemson, that's three schools. Bama, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, a fourth school. Florida State, a fifth school in 2013. Bama, Auburn in 2010. Florida and Bama in 09, Florida in 08, LSU in 07, Florida in 06, Texas in 05, Southern Cal in 04, then it's Ohio State again, and then it's the run of Miami, Oklahoma in 2001, 2000, Florida State in 99, Tennessee. It's the same schools. Florida State, Miami won their first title in 83. BYU was a first-time winner, I got to believe, in 84. I'm going to say that. I don't know. Maybe they won one way back when. But I'm thinking of, you know, last time a school won the national title for a first time. Canes did it in 83. BYU did it in 84. Then you go Oklahoma. They had done it. Penn State, they had done it. Colorado, Georgia Tech. Didn't Georgia Tech win it way back in the days of, like, Bobby Dodd and you know, whatever, John Heisman and, hell, Pop Warner. I don't know. UW split a title with Miami, but why do I believe UW won one, you know, way back in, like, the 30s or the 40s? Help. The Golden Gophers won the national title in 34, 35, 36, 40, and 41. I'm just seeing if I can find a UW here or a Georgia Tech here. Georgia Tech had to have won it way back when. I mean, you go back to the, you know, early, you know, 1800s, it was always Princeton and Yale and Harvard and Pennsylvania and Lafayette. Hell, Michigan was winning titles. Michigan, the Wolverines won it in 1901, 1902. LSU won one in 1908. Pitt won one in 1910. Georgia Tech, yeah, here we go. They won a title in 1917. So that wasn't a first time when they split that title, the Yellow Jackets. They also won one in 1928. So these programs have been around forever. I don't see another BYU. So, you know, if you're one of those who believes that Virginia Tech's going to win a national title, Texas A&M's going to win a national title, Wisconsin's going to win a national title, Oregon's going to win a national title, Stanford's going to win a national title, Cincinnati's going to win a national title, there's your proof, brother. You got to go to 83 Miami, 84 BYU, 93 Florida State, and 96 Florida. The last time a school won a title for the first time. I'd love to throw out the obligatory who's next. But I already know the answer to that question. No one.
Exactly, yeah.
There's your answer.
Yeah.
No one. It's going to come from the same crop. And, you know, I'm not trying to say it that way because I understand that most of the prominent schools have won. But if, you know, again, if you're one of those who just believes, oh, you know, we're going to catch lightning in a bottle, it's not going to happen. Now, if you get us to a legitimate 12-team college football playoff, there's a chance that that could happen. Okay? A much better chance down the road that that could happen. Just think of all those years that you lost early or lost midway through the year and you never got another opportunity because you lost one game. I noticed that Alabama, by winning their 10th game, they have now won 10 games for 14 consecutive years, joining only what other program, R.J. Saunders, in the history of college football?
One other.
14 consecutive years of double-digit wins.
Only one other team?
In the history of college football.
Good grief. I'm stumped. I'm stumped.
I'm going to go with the Florida State Seminoles. From 1987 to 2000, 14 consecutive years, top four finishes. Here's what I got for you, though. If you had a system in place that was a college football playoffs scenario, Florida State would have had an opportunity to win 6-7 national titles. They should have won them anyway.
Yeah.
Okay? They should have won them anyway.
About that, though.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, a wide right, 91, you would have gotten a rematch. You got blown out to begin the year in 88, you would have gotten a rematch. You know, even in 89, when they lost here against Lord Favre, and then Terry Allen and Clemson came in at night and beat them, you look at that team at the end of the year, you know, they crushed Auburn, they crushed Miami, they crushed Florida, they were the best, crushed LSU, they were the best team in college football. But that's the system that we lived in. And, you know, we all have to accept that. But who is the next first-timer in college football? Are you going to Houston Cougar me? Or you going to tell me that the University of Central Florida Knights are going to get it done? You telling me that Wake Forest is going to win a national title, or North Carolina State, or Louisville, or BC, or Virginia, or Virginia Tech, or North Carolina? I mean, where are they? Oklahoma State? I bet you there's some people out there right now saying, we got Bedlam Saturday night. One loss, Oklahoma State. One loss, Oklahoma. And it's on. Doesn't matter. Oklahoma State could win that game. Oklahoma State could win the Big 12 championship game. Doesn't matter. They're going to get destroyed in a college football playoff. Remember the Kansas State runs, or the recent Iowa State runs, or the Baylor runs? They're not going to win national titles. Wisconsin, Iowa, Purdue, Illinois, Northwestern, please. So that's where you're at. And let me continue this on the other side, because I want to bring in the NFL. I've had a tough time tonight hitting post on time. And damn it, you would think after 29 years in the biz, I would finally be able to figure it out.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, this is some clubbing music. What's open tonight? It's divorcee night, Tuesday night. Daddy's got the kids.
Turn up.
That means the women are out on the prowl.
Right there for the picking.
Yes, on my dating app, I'd like to request that she's been married at least three times, has at least three kids, and smokes at least three packs a day. That's what I'm looking for. It's the 3-3-3 plan.
The 3-3-3 plan.
Yeah,
okay.
What do you think about that?
Okay.
Okay.
I see it.
The 3-3-3 plan.
3-3-3.
You know, kind of a cheeseburger and a Motel 6 as compared to a steak dinner and some wine.
More frugal.
Yeah. I'm trying to better the world of college football. I have conversations about this weekly with Tim Brando, but we talk more about this off the air. The sport needs a commissioner. The sport has completely flatlined. And I'm trying tonight to find a way to make my apologies for basically taking a night off with the Jaguars. I feel like, listen, if they're going to take a day off, oh, I don't know, Sunday against San Francisco, I'm going to take a night off from talking about them.
We'll get back to you tomorrow.
For the most part. But college football is hemorrhaging, all right? And it's so easily fixable. But you got a bunch of morons who run it. So here I am tonight trying to make a case for college football and somewhat try to compare it to the NFL. And it's a drastic mistake by me. It's like, well, comparing a young lady in a gentleman's club in Las Vegas and a young lady in a gentleman's club in Wisconsin. All right? It's a major fallback. But look at this. Look at the NFL. Okay? You have had in the last week, in the last 14 days. You had four teams last week that were divisional leaders who lost. You had five teams two Sundays ago who were divisional leaders who lost to teams that were either bottom feeders in their division or had losing records. And they knocked off five of the eight divisional leaders two Sundays ago. You had four divisional leaders lose 2 days ago. That's the NFL world that we live in. I mention it every Thursday night at Mr. Chubby's or sometimes Friday during our show. There have been several weeks this year, RJ, that there's only been one game on tap in the NFL that had two winning teams facing one another.
Right.
London has had now 21 games lifetime over there. They've never had a game that has matched two winning teams.
Sad.
It doesn't matter. Fans can't get enough of this. You can throw anything out in the NFL. You can fire coordinators today like Jason Garrett. You can replace quarterbacks. I mean, the fans are in. It is so popular. It is so incredible right now. Yet, college football, it's all about just those few teams at the top. And it's so convenient. It's not convenient, folks. It's lazy. The convenient thing to say is, oh, we don't need an expanded play. I was so mystified. I think it was a year ago, 2 years ago. I don't remember. They all kind of run together for me now. Where people that I follow on Twitter, people that I trust, people that I like to get information from or get their opinion or analysis from, are throwing out there that, oh, we should never expand. I mean, look at those two semifinal games. They were dogs. You know, we only need just the national title game. We don't even need to. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Did you not see the year prior to that when Baker Mayfield and Oklahoma played Georgia in the semifinals? It was one of the greatest college football games we had ever seen. But it's not convenient. It's because people are lazy. They don't want to put in the time. They don't want to put in the effort. I just gave you all those schools who are never going to come close to winning a national title. You know how they win a national title? Have a college football playoff. Look at the great Alabama. Arkansas gave them all they wanted and more on Saturday. 3 weeks ago, you had LSU throwing a Hail Mary trying to knock off Alabama. After they fired Eddie Orgeron, I mean, they were like a 28.5-point underdog. You understand my point here? You got to play the game. That's what the NFL does. They play the games. College football is far too much about attraction, the big team, the blue blood, the money coach, the great game-breaking players, the college football atmosphere, the cathedrals that they play in. There's not enough of getting it done on the field. We have lost out on that for decades in college football. I would love to see a 12-team college football playoff. There was ever a year. Okay, Georgia appears to be head and shoulders above everything else. And I'm not going to argue with you there. Honestly, I'd like to see the Dogs win it. They haven't won it in 41 years. I'm friends with a lot of Dogs out there. It would be nice to see. But did you see what Ohio State did on Saturday? Again, I mean, it's not, you can do what you do. You know, you're a Dog fan, you're that game, you're a Gator fan, you're over there, you know, you're watching the Missouri game, you're a Florida State fan. I understand that you're about your school, and then you'll, you know, you're with friends, you're drinking beers, you're with your family. you'll catch highlights from other games, or you'll do. People don't give it their undivided attention. I mean, in this market, most people aren't going to be like, you know, lock the doors. I got to watch this game between the Buckeyes and Sparty. Well, you saw flat-out domination. You saw three wide receivers at Ohio State who are two this year are going to be in the NFL draft. Hell, I'd love to have either one of those two here in Jacksonville. Well, Stroud completed 72% of his passes so far this year. 3,468 yards, 36 touchdowns, only five interceptions. If this was a normal year where we only had two teams, we don't even know if Ohio State would get there. I think regardless of what happens with the Oklahoma-Oklahoma State situation Saturday night in Bedlam, the winner of that game goes 11-1. And then we have a Big 12 championship game. But the point I'm trying to make is they may not even get an opportunity. The NFL compared to college football, there's one huge difference. They play the games in the NFL. They don't in college. Everything else is about press. Everything else is about prestige. Everything else is about a voting system by many who I gather do not give it their undivided attention. College football should not come down to a vote, okay? And it is. The selection committee, and they did a good job tonight. I had my four, you know, just because I had it and they had it doesn't mean it's necessarily right, but I totally agree with what they did. But you know this thing's going to get botched, and that's what you should hope for. You want it to get botched. You want it to be chaotic. That's the only way we're going to get this thing to finally work. And we've gone without it for decades and decades and decades. But just look at the NFL. It's amazing. And again, I think road teams were 9-5 this past week. I believe that was the case. Maybe after last night, 9-6, a couple of teams would have bought. All right, we got more to do.
Find your dreams come true. And I wonder if you know what it means to find your dreams. And I wonder if you know what it means.
Go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, with you tonight till 10, tomorrow night 6 to 8. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Got to imagine a lot of people have tomorrow off. Or maybe a half day on Wednesday, a travel day. So be safe. Truckcrashlaw.com. I hope you don't ever have to call them. But if there is an injury out there and it's because of a truck, tractor trailer, RV, bus, anything like that. Serious injury, even if it's fatal. If you're aware of this, let's say it's a colleague at work, please get to their family the name. Truckcrashlaw.com. The only folks in the entire state who do this, and they're based right here in our backyard, he's a Gator, Joe Camerlengo. In law. Great service. From Key West to Pensacola. The only people who do this full time. Why they're so good at it. I hope you never have to call them, because I don't want any of you to be involved in something like this. But if you become aware of it, please give them the name. Truckcrashlaw.com. All my friends are Gators. You know that?
All of them?
Just about. Especially now after the Godfather passed. Jimmy Cain, my go-to, is a Florida State guy. I got a few Knowles that are friends. Knowles love getting pissed at me. And frankly, I kind of love it when they do get pissed at me. I kind of need it. There's a few things I need in my life that, you know, instead of drugs, I told you yesterday that I use this microphone as a drug when I come in here on a Monday and I'm so stressed after the weekend. How you get it out of me. I love the Noel feedback. If, you know, when I'm watching a game, if I put out a tweet that's where there's criticism, Noel fans go crazy. Yet I can have 12 positive tweets surrounding it, not a lick. For instance, today I tweeted out, it's Florida State, Florida week. Florida State's won 7 out of the last 10.
Nothing.
I mean, some likes and some retweets. But let's just say that shoe was on the other foot.
Oh, Rick, why do you have to bring that up?
Oh, my God. Blue, you're such a closet gator. I mean, who cares? The game's Saturday. You're always doing this. You're always so... You're always such a downer. I mean, why even bring... And I don't want to make it about me because, you know, frankly, I despise it when I'm the subject matter. As you know.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. It really is. We bring Marvin Jones on. You put the interview out there and it's... Who cares what Shaytree? You know, who cares? But I say, what a boneheaded play that was. That's Florida State's 12th penalty of the game. Oh, Blue, I used to like listening. Your takes suck. You hate Florida State.
Supposed to defend Florida State to the death.
So, I learned years and years ago that that's never going to change because I'm never going to change. Not when it comes to that. But you know what's really... You know what's sad is it... There is a softness in the Southern college football fan base. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
I mean, I come from a tough town where, brother, if the Red Sox lose 2 or 3 in a row, man, you got people throwing themselves off bridges. You got, you know, people getting divorced. You got people getting fired from their jobs. I learned that when I did radio in Tallahassee. I mean, don't you dare say anything cross about the team, even if it's blatantly obvious. And I've just never been wired that way. I mean, if it sucks, I'm going to tell you it sucks. But there is a difference. I mean, it's like a big, mean dog and a, you know, little puppy. And that's the difference between coming from a major professional city and then going to a southern college town.
Right. Well, when you come from a southern college town, at least I feel, at least from what I've learned, you're always going to defend your team. Even when it's bad, you always feel like you say it all the time. You know, how teams that are always looked over if they win big games or big tournaments, nobody believed in us. That's how fans here are. They want to be those that underdog type. They're always going to stick with the team. And then when the team wins, then, you know, it's nobody believed in us anyway. Whoever jumped ship was never a real fan anyway. So they take it hard, but I feel in big sports towns, we get, I don't know, I feel sometimes we get much more angry.
Look at this city. I kind of got after it last night.
You did.
I didn't get one response from anyone who said, "All right, Baloo, you overdid it. Hey, Baloo, you're the Jaguars sideline reporter. You're being too critical." Not one. You know why? Because Jacksonville's a pro town. Jacksonville understands these fans that they want to win and they're trying to get this thing fixed. Yet if I do the same thing, and I have done the same thing. Hell, I did it when Bowden was winning 10 or 11 games. That's why they threw me off the Florida State radio network. Because I was too to the point. And they want everything to be, you know, massaged. But and that's why the media in these towns, they don't do it because they know they won't get access. But it never, almost ever happens. We had a guy call in 6-7 weeks ago and didn't believe that I was given my honest opinion on the Jaguars because I was part of their payroll, and I wouldn't ever say any, I mean, he must have been like a first or second time listener. I wouldn't ever say anything negative about it for the sake of losing my job. I'm like, brother, have you ever listened to the show that we do?
I understand, Rick, you're probably not going to say what your heart feels because I know that you can only say so much because you work for the Jags, so you can't really talk bad about them. Wrong-o!
But there is, I mean, you know, that's what I've kind of made this hour in. I'm just trying to compare the college game to the pro game really from several different angles. And they are so different. I mean, it's baseball and softball. Okay? And I'm not talking beer league softball. I'm talking baseball and fast pitch softball. Or I guess maybe that's even closer. Then slow pitch. I don't know. I hung it up at 18. You see the text line? I got the text line on. And one just comes in with the 5882. It says, damn, this sucks. They are so boring. And I look at it and saying that they got some problem with our, with one of our feeds and one of our apps. I thought some guy was totally chewing us out because I'm bringing up the difference between the fan base and the media. Anyway, I mean, I would have been okay with it. Obviously, I read it, but it just kind of stopped me in my tracks. And I will say this, criticism should be somewhat different between pro and college. Because the pro game, they're getting paid incredible amounts of money. And the collegiate game, up until this year, they're not getting paid any money. At least legally, they're not getting paid any money. But, you know, everyone's going to always tell you the era before them was better. And it used to be better this way. It used to be better that way. I don't agree with that. I think we're in the best era that we have ever seen in sports. These players are bigger and faster and stronger. Just look at the quarterback position. I mean, come on. You never used to see freshmen coming right out. They're coming right out of high school now and getting it done in college, and they're coming right out of the college draft now and getting it done in the NFL. I do think it's harder on you as a fan base now because these players just go from team to team to team to team. And, you know, you can thank Kurt Flood for this and the start of free agency way back in Major League Baseball. I mean, before trade deadlines, all sorts of players go. I remember being so upset when Raymond Bork, after 19 years in Boston, he couldn't win a cup. They traded him before the deadline. He went out to the Colorado Avalanche and won it. And I was on the Fan 950 out there in Denver, and I was going absolutely crazy about it. But that's where you're at now in athletics. It's all about the jersey. I mean, it's tough to maintain with the players in the jersey. I mean, you love Jalen, then you hate him. You love Fournette, then you can't wait to get rid of him. You want Yannick Ngakoue, then you don't want him. You want to embrace C.J. Henderson, then you can't. And you want these kids. I saw with Enzo Armella's kid today. He's down to his final, four? He has a Seminole hat next to a Gator hat. How do you expect, if he picks Florida State over Florida, how do you expect him to hate Florida if he may go to Florida? Or if he goes to Florida, how do you expect him to hate Florida State if he almost picked Florida State and his dad went to Florida State? The kids aren't going to hate these schools. It's you, the fan, who's going to love and hate it. You're going to bring up the 96 rematch. You're going to bring up the 97 Florida State. Huge favorite, and they lose. Ron Zook getting fired and going in. You think these kids care about any of that crap? They could care less about it. You care about it. You care about Missouri knocking off Florida. You care about, who was it, Furman? Who scored all those points 2 weeks ago? I don't even remember who the school was. They put up 42 points at half, for crying out loud, against the Florida kid. I mean, that's going to drive you crazy. Was it Sanford? As a fan. But anyway, it's not changing.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's been a lot of fun tonight, at least for me. I try to make it fun for you. I didn't go off script tonight. And I just kind of found myself in a little bit of a compare and contrast with the NFL and college football. It's really amazing if you dive into the numbers with the NFL. It's, I mean, this league right now, you got bad teams beating good teams, last place teams beating first place teams, road teams beating home teams. Road teams actually have a slight advantage this year. Yet the NFL works, and everyone loves it. And I'm as excited as you are for the three games that are coming up on Thursday. I'm also excited about the Egg Bowl Thursday night. It's going to be a lot of fun. Lane Kiffin and the Pirate. Okay? That's going to be a blast. I didn't do a lot on the Jags tonight. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I actually took a deep dive today. I did a lot of numbers, trying to fix some things. And, you know, Denny Thompson's going to join us right out of the break tomorrow night. I do want to get into the lack of the RPOs that Jacksonville is scheming up right now with Trevor Lawrence. Only 39 plays so far this year, RPOs, in 10 games. 29 pass plays, 10 run plays. Those 29 pass plays have produced 324 passing yards. Obviously, that's what he ran at Clemson. Why is he not running more of that here? So we'll do that tomorrow night with Denny Thompson. Tim Brando's going to make a Wednesday appearance since we won't be with you Thursday or Friday. We'll grab the Philly Godfather on a Wednesday as well. So we'll have a lot of fun, have the very latest for you on the Jaguars coming up tomorrow as well. The obligatory, I don't check the text line now that the show is over. Okay. You want to get a hold of me, best way to do so is on Twitter. That is Ballew1010XL. Thank you to our producer, RJ Saunders. My name is Rick Ballew. We'll talk with you tomorrow night, 6 to 8, right here on your home of the Jags.